Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Steven Serta, Cody Tapp, Alex Gold with you. Coming up at 11:30, our radio.com NFL insider Ross Tucker going to stop by. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll ask him about Jimmy Garoppolo. Only throwing 8 balls in that NFC title game. And where's the trust at with the Niners quarterback? And, of course, 2 weeks to get ready for Mahomes if you're the Niners. How do you approach that? And we're expected to hear around 11:50 from Chiefs coordinator, starting with perhaps Dave Tobe, Eric Bieniemy, and Steve Spagnuolo. So we'll have that. Tyron Matthew, as you heard from Serta, going to also speak to the media out at Arrowhead.
All live right here on 610 Sports Radio. Looking forward to taking... Probably going to hear a lot more people talking live for the next, oh, I don't know, 10 days.
Next week will be unbelievable. We're so fired up here at 610 across the board. Be headed down to Miami to kick off our coverage, which will start on Sunday. The Chiefs arrive on Sunday. We arrive on Sunday. In fact, we'll be there a little bit before the Chiefs. So we'll have some good content on social media and the website. You want to make sure you're following us if you don't already. At Alex Gold on Twitter, at Cody B. Tapp, at Steven Serta, and at 610 Sports Kansas City. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have Donovan McNabb. Right, Don McNabb has spoke very highly over the last week or so about Reed just on social media, congratulatory kind of stuff. And we're excited to have him join us on Cody and Gold. Well, he was on Bleacher Reports. I think it was Bleacher Reports. I don't remember the name of the show, but essentially it's Untold Stories, I think actually is the name yes. of the show. And was talking about his time in Philadelphia. Go back to the 2004, 2005 seasons. We all know they were in the Super Bowl, and then things kind of fell apart for the most part there in Philadelphia. And so Don McNabb was asked about Terrell Owens, or really not even directly asked, but he was talking about T.O. and just the makeup of that team and what happened between them and really the impact it had on the 2004-2005 team.
This is the last Andy Reid Super Bowl team. Like, this is the last time he
had one
of these.
The only one until now.
Well, yes. Yes. It was the only other time that he was in the Super Bowl with that run. So watching the way that it kind of unfolded was fascinating to me. Only because you're like, all right, Andy was the head guy in charge now. What happened during this time? And in McNabb, at least in his interview, put a lot of the blame on T.O. and some of the off-field distractions that led into that season.
He'll be back healthy. You know, we had Freak. We had guys that were just elevating their game, gaining experience. We're going to be back. And so the offseason goes through, and then all of a sudden there's turmoil here and their conversation going back and forth. And we had to answer those questions instead of focusing on what we need to do in order to get back to where we were. And I thought that was the major distraction for us. You know, he doing sit-ups, you know, he doing push-ups, he playing basketball, he ordering pizza for the people out there. And we sitting there in training camp just like, you got to be kidding me.
Because it's probably on what you get in the cafeteria eating.
Well, no, we're in our dorm rooms and... You know, I'm just sitting there, and I'm watching on TV, and Brian Dawkins and Trotter were my roommates. And Dawkins come in, he's like, man, what do you do now? I'm like, take a look. Like, this is like, days of our lives. Like, it's unbelievable. But, you know, that was something that kind of broke us up. That was the most frustrating for me because I knew what we could do, and if we decided to just come together, what we'd be able to accomplish.
Are you and T on talking terms, or what's the relationship like now?
Hey, I give a nice peace sign and keep it moving.
Wow. Okay. Not holding anything back. Thank you, Donovan. We hope we are the same tomorrow when he joins us.
Please and thank you.
Yes. So at that time, when they're in the Super Bowl, just as you could hear from, they thought they were set up. They thought they were set up for at least a couple more years. You mentioned Javon Kearse and T.O. and Westbrook and McNabb and all being there.
And early in the part of the video, he actually gives credit for when Kearse and T.O. got there. He felt like those were the guys that helped get them over the hump. Like, they got stuck in the NFC title game after NFC title game. And when, like, that group of players came in, that felt like the leverage they needed to go to the next level. And yet still is on the back end of this saying, inevitably, our demise, too. Enough talent to get us there, but then inevitably the demise on that part of the back half of the season. It's weird.
And nobody will ever forget the sit-ups in the driveway and everything like that. That's an all-time image that nobody will forget. And so then things fell apart, and we all know that's why we're talking about Andy Reid's legacy. And this is only his second chance to be at the Super Bowl, because things fell apart there in Philadelphia when it seemed like they had a long run in them, or at least a short-term run in them. And you're looking at the Chiefs now. Right now, I think we're all thinking, This could be good for a while, right? You get a sense. I'm not going to use the word dynasty, but you get a sense. Okay, they're going to be in it. They're going to have as good a chance as anybody over the next 5+ years, potentially, whatever it may be, whatever that time frame is. And that's probably what they thought there in Philadelphia. You heard it from McNabb. So I'm sure they didn't have a sense in Philly at the time that all this could ever happen, that the team would break up, or that one particular player could kind of impact and blow the whole thing up. I certainly don't have that sense here in Kansas City. When you look at the way this team has been constructed with Brett Veach and Andy Reid, you look at the guy that is the leader on the field, the MVP in Patrick Mahomes, and his personality, and you hear these guys talk about each other, it doesn't seem fake either. It's hard to imagine there being one player, and I'm not saying that they're going to go on a crazy run for years, but that if they don't, it's not, to me, it's not going to be a similar situation where you have one guy putting himself above everybody else, causing distractions and being the reason why this thing blows up at some point in time. I don't get that sense whatsoever. I don't know who that one player would even be on this roster, because it seems like they truly enjoy each other, and not just each other, but their families as well. We've heard that time and time again, whether it's Tyrann Mathieu talking about it, whether it's Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes talking about it as well. You can go down the list. I think most of these guys over the course of the last year or two have mentioned how much they truly enjoy being around each other.
Anthony Hitchens mentioned that their wives might be getting mad that they were hanging out together quite as much. I think that's the good sign. Anytime I watch, you know, we should learn from history, right? History repeats itself. We've seen these things before. He's not T.O. and McNabb, and there's people who would say there's blame on both sides, and Andy, and where the division had happened there. At any point, right, people tell you there's a lot of blame to go around for what ended being that Eagles run. Now, they had a good run. 4 straight NFC title games is a hell of a run. Better than a lot of teams get in a run. If the Chiefs go to 2 straight more AFC title games, we're going to feel like it was a pretty damn good run, especially if there's a Super Bowl in there. Then you're going to really feel good. Or a couple of Super Bowl trips and 1 win or whatever. But you're going to feel like this is a hell of a run. But it's all about, like, how can they avoid, what were the pitfalls of the last time this ran down? I think the big difference is that was clearly at the tail end of a run. And they couldn't cash in. So the only fear would be is if this happened at the end of this year, they don't complete the job a week from Sunday, and then they again look for that player, can they get the right player that is there talent-wise that doesn't disrupt the flow? And the best possible news I would tell you is, I already felt like they went to go do that this offseason, and they clearly got the right guys for the job. Like, when they went out and got Javon Kearse, he was the right guy for the job. T.O., McNabb, whatever happened in that relationship, it didn't end up being the right guy for the job. Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu have been the right people to kind of strike through that conversation between the two. And this is not a knock on McNabb at all, who people would say is not blameless necessarily. And he's going to join us tomorrow at 12:45. So we're really excited to talk to him about his run with Andy and maybe like when he could sense kind of going on a run, because they eventually did. But Mahomes doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who has beef with anybody. I don't know what it is about him right now, or maybe it's just because people enjoy playing with him so much. At the moment, because even like players would leave New England sometimes, right? And they'd be like, good God. Running through there was just, oh, it's like you could do it for a couple of years, but it was like college. I don't get that sense with Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes at all.
There was and I remember the particular player, but there was the quote that got a lot of traction talking about how they're not having, you know, we're not having any
fun.
And that blew up. That comes from New England and all that. And people are like, well, if you're winning, you're having fun, right? If you're winning championships.
But that's not always it. Like, they were a really good team. Like, you know, they ran through a lot of NFC teams.
The difference for me, too, and for this not to happen here, if we are talking about them getting a ring during a stretch, that to me, that changes it. Like, if you are someone coming into an organization, you're absolutely right when you look at what they got in Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. Clearly, those have been home runs. But even if you fast forward three or 4 years from now, and they have 1 ring, hopefully it's more than that. Let's say they have 1. Hopefully they just have 1. That changes it too. When you enter a locker room with the majority of the guys that were part of a Super Bowl team, that's different than, yes, that was an Eagles team that had the 4 consecutive NFC championships and all that, but they hadn't won the big one yet. And so I think you're a little more prone to that happening. Plus, we know, let's be real, T.O. personality-wise, and I'll put it all on T.O., Don McNabb is getting crushed for those comments as well. T.O.'s fired back. and all that. But nobody, it's no secret that T.O. personality-wise is one of the more outspoken guys. And just look, the incident him on the driveway is obviously the prime example.
Like, well, Antonio Brown would have been a key example of that this offseason the Chiefs or what, you know, the Raiders did or what the Patriots brought him in for. The Patriots knew they needed more talent to get over the hump. Like, that T.O. move was not about, like, a culture thing. It was like, we need more talent. We're close. We're really close. We need more talent. We got to get over the hump. I don't want Kansas City thinking that way, even if this isn't the year. And obviously, I feel like this is the year. But if they come up short, you'd think now you don't get desperate for talent or a player that doesn't seem like the right fit. But back-to-back AFC titles / Super Bowl appearances and not closing and Mahomes is young and you're like, nah, we got to...
I just don't
do it.
Maybe, yeah, who
I,
else,
don't, I, mean, I don't.
You
I don't.
See
oh,
that.
In the NFL?
No, no,
no, players who
no, 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 no.
Oh, on this team?
On,
I don't.
Yeah.
They made their two moves to do exactly what they did in T.O. They thought they needed more defensive talent in order to get over that hump. They went for Clark and Matthew. They went for Thomas. They attracted, and I think they got the personality right. I think rather than just talent, they attracted the personality, and they got those right. It's like I already feel like they made the moves like that Eagles team did. And I'm not saying it's blameless on either side, but it is fascinating to see how it plays out now.
McNabb also in the same piece, and of course that's what got most people's attention.
T.O. respond on Twitter and said, just wait till I tell my side of the story. So it's not like it went down smoothly for, you know, it's not like T.O. was just going to ignore that.
No, and again, as you said, McNabb's going to be on the show with us tomorrow at 12:45. Who knows? Hopefully, if T.O. wants to come on, by all means, T.O. can come on the show as well. We'd love to have T.O.
Same time?
How about that? Put them both on the line at the same time. Just block off a half hour for them just to settle the differences.
We're just going to have to skip breaks on that day, Serta. Yeah.
I think that would be one that would work. Serta, would we get approval on that one?
I'm fine with
it. Okay. All right. So that would work. But McNabb did also mention in that same Bleacher Report Untold Stories piece that they did there that he felt like going into that Super Bowl – that he was trying to just be perfect and like too perfect essentially, and how that maybe hurt him in that game. We heard from
through picks,
he had the turnovers. We heard Patrick Mahomes yesterday was asked about, you know, is it possible to over prepare? You know, I look at game film too much. And he, I think I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially Mahomes said you can never look at too much film, but definitely you don't want to essentially, you know, get bogged down into it as well. Based on that comment from Mahomes, it's not something that I would be all that concerned about. Here's the full quote from McNabb.
And turnovers versus New England is tough because they always come back and capitalize. Even if it's not a touchdown, it might get a field goal.
Or they'll flip the field.
You know, Tom and I, we talk every now and then. You know, we kind of talked about that.
Not worried about Mahomes trying to be too perfect. And Mahomes is not a turnover-prone quarterback.
No, he's not. But McNabb wasn't either. Andy has limited interceptions with every single quarterback he's ever had. McNabb was really, he only threw 7 interceptions that season, over 30 touchdowns, 4,000 yards. That's Mahomes' season this year, and even he got in that game and threw picks. And McNabb had played in some big games. You know what the thing is, though, is I think that the Chiefs are more that team than the 49ers are. The 49ers will caution you on that, but I feel like the Chiefs are getting ready to be that team that he just talked about. Make one mistake, and that's it. Do one fake punt, and it fails, and you're over. Have 1-3 and out, and you're screwed. It was always if you give a mouse a cookie with the Patriots. If you just gave them 1 inch, they took a mile. And while the 49ers have been that team at times this year, I think the Chiefs are more likely to be that team over the next 5 years. So I do worry a little bit about it, but you could say the same thing about Garoppolo. He's never been in that game.
Oh, and
He's barely had to throw.
He's had the bad throws.
And he makes bad throws already. So if there's someone who's going to force it in this game, I don't worry nearly as much about Mahomes. Maybe his comment, or even better about Garoppolo. You're in that moment, and you're like, got to make this throw happen, got to get there. And if they by some chance get down, then you are in real trouble. Real trouble. I think it just shifts. Because Garoppolo is certainly the more risky quarterback in that scenario. But I think there is something real to trying to make one throw happen if just one thing goes wrong. And the Chiefs have been so stable in that environment this season where even mistakes, drop balls that lead to block punts, that lead to touchdowns, haven't seemed to sway them yet.
And the turnovers they have had have been more on the special teams route, not on the offensive route. I mean, especially as of late. and especially with whether, you know, the block punts that they had against the Texans, like the special teams concerns. Now, granted, they also, against the Texans, I understand, on special teams, had the fumble recovery as well. It's been more on the special teams where we've seen the turnover differential and everything be impactful recently.
But that's scary because the 49ers are a really good turnover team. I mean, the Chiefs are actually plus eight, so they're better in their ratio, I guess, than the 49ers are. But it doesn't mean that it's not good on that side, because the 49ers are plus four. The reason why the 49ers are less than the differential is because they turn it over themselves more. Because the 49ers also get, you know, it's not just picks for them. I guess if you're looking for a place for Mahomes to get kind of the jitters is the fumble game. The 49ers have 15 fumble recoveries this season. That's one a game. In a regular season, that's one a game. Chiefs have seven of the exact same caliber. Two came in one game. So that's a huge difference in there. That's special teams, that's defense. I would worry on that end, and a lot of that probably, you know, a lot of that comes from pass rush. Have good pass rush, guy stands back there, ball's a little more likely to come out. But, you know, maybe it's not the picks that you need to worry about with Mahomes, and he's been so good with the ball, but they as a team have had some fumble issues. It's not just Mahomes that gets the jitters. McNabb got him. McNabb said he was trying too hard. But Damian Williams tries to get an extra yard and a half, and then the ball gets a little loosey-goosey. You get concerned, too.
Or, you know, Kelsey had a, I don't know if he's had multiple, but he had the crucial.
He's had fumbles. Yeah.
Fumbles this year as well. It's more about the other guys than Mahomes himself. And, yes, we know the pass rush is a huge concern for the Chiefs going up against the 49ers. And how do you handle that pass rush for them? And here we were just talking about Mahomes running the ball more himself. Does that open it
even
up?
Even though Florio's encouraging abuse, but yes.
But remember, on the amazing 20, and I saw it live, and I thought, man, the ball popped out. And then I saw a photo yesterday. On the Mahomes 27-yard touchdown run, it makes it even more impressive. At the end of that,
ball came out.
The ball came out. I didn't realize how much it came out. There's a still photo. I mean, it wasn't just a little.
It was by Sam Lutz, who's one of the creative content.
There you go.
Photographers,
so you saw the photo
over
as well.
At the Kansas City Royals. So, he does fill in stuff, obviously.
Okay,
for the Chiefs,
so you saw that photo. I mean, that ball was clearly out. I guess if it's going to be related to Mahomes and turnovers, it would be in those situations where he's making the super athletic plays, game changing plays that he and maybe one other guy in the league can make with his feet. And something like that. It's not a major concern. That, to me, is the only scenario where I see it happening.
Nobody makes those plays and doesn't turn it over.
Right.
So it doesn't.
No, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. That's the only time where I see it would be a situation where Mahomes would be the guy turning the ball over. Otherwise, it's other people on the team. And, I mean, I don't expect LeSean McCoy to be getting carries. So, and that would obviously be a guy you would be concerned about following the football.
Sure, but, I mean, what do you
Is he going to even be active? Is he going to even be active?
He's active in the last game, so sure. Sure.
No snaps.
I could see one or two. They gave Darwin more the last time out, so I could still see a world in which he gets more, but I don't necessarily think he's not a major player. He's not a player we need to have a long conversation about. Let's put it that way.
Ross Tucker, our radio.com NFL insider, going to join us at 11:30. We'll get his thoughts on that very topic as well. Plus, again, around 11:50, expected to hear from Dave Tobe, Eric Bieniemy, and Steve Spagnuolo, including a couple Chiefs and Tyrann Mathieu, and we're about 12 minutes away from a chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. We had Danny Duffy on the show yesterday talking about Royals Fan Fest, what's it like to be in Kansas City during a championship run. Of course, Whit Merrifield, who's going to be at Fan Fest, I believe, this weekend as well. And by the way, Fan Fest, how cool is, you see the announcement from the Royals?
Yes.
With Salvador Perez on Friday, I think around 4 o'clock. He's going to become a U.S. citizen. They have the ceremony right there at Bartle. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Really cool.
Good for him, and that's cool that Royals fans are going to have a chance to be part of that. But the big story in baseball the whole offseason has been about cheating and sign stealing from the Houston Astros more than any other team. Yes, the Red Sox had implications. They had to get rid of Alex Cora. Carlos Beltran, the former Royal, never did manage a game for the New York Mets. So Whit Merrifield was on the Clubhouse Conversation podcast and was asked about 2018 not being in the All-Star game.
It was incredibly special. Just to kind of sit back and reflect on my journey throughout the course of my baseball life, to finally get to the peak of the profession and to enjoy it with my family was something I'll always remember and always cherish. But going back to 2018, I'm going to consider myself an all-star with all this stuff that's come out about the Astros because Jose Altuve took my spot that game. So I'll just we'll put an asterisk by 2018 and we'll take that 2018 all-star. And I'll on top of it, we'll just go ahead and throw in a Silver Slugger for good measure.
We desperately needed the, like, sitcom sound effect in there. Does everybody know what I'm discussing here?
No, I don't know.
I have zero idea what
like
you
that,
mean.
Like that, like when they're, again, I am
Do you mean
not
just the crowd, like the crowd noise, the audience noise, like where they'd have the laugh track?
Yes, but when they go, oh, like, oh man, did he say that?
Well, now we have it.
Fine,
I guess
we didn't need
Well, now we have it. We'll just use yours. We'll just use you doing it. We've got it good to go.
I don't know what that is.
Fine. I'll play it for you in the break, I guess. But beyond that, those are some strong words.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
Unless you're an Altuve fan or Astros fan, how do you not love that? Anybody in baseball should love that, let alone a Royals fan. That's incredible. Good for him.
Why wouldn't he say that? Going back to when Jose Altuve won, they have been in large competition. Whit Merrifield has felt like he's been undervalued a lot of his career. And for the most part, he has. He has been way undervalued in his career. Probably should have been called up sooner. Could have been a part of a run in 15 and got skipped out on that, right? There's plenty of reasons why he would hold a pretty large chip on his shoulder. And Jose Altuve, who has been widely considered one of the best second basemen in the league, certainly gets more talk than Whit Merrifield, right? Does during that time. They got accused of starting to cheat in 2014 was the report. Well, in 2013, he's hitting .283. The following year, he's hitting .341, led the league in average, .313, .338, led the league in average in 16, .346, led the average in 17. Oh, and it just so happens they get busted. The conversation started at 19, he goes back down to .298. Let's see where his average goes from here on out. Now, some of it's going to be like, well, he got older and he's 30. And I like Altuve for the most. I've liked a lot of Altuve's career.
One of the more likable players.
Well, he's got a great story, right? People kept telling him to quit baseball and he shouldn't be around it, and he wasn't going to fit and it didn't really make sense. But his numbers take a definitive jump in the year in which they're accused to do it. So it's perfectly fine for Whit to take that shot. He knows he didn't take video to help him pitch tip signs. Then fine. He should take shots like that at Altuve.
I have no problem with the shot. I do think it's interesting that Altuve's, and he mentions him specifically because of the same position and everything like that, but Altuve, everybody went nuts with the videos that were all circulating out there, and whether he had a buzzer on, and why wouldn't you let your teammates rip your jersey off after hitting the walk-off? Some of that is pure speculation, okay?
Altuve's, but it's not as lunacy as it used to be because...
No. The cheating opens that up. That's what happens when your organization is accused of cheating. It's what we do with the Patriots all the time. Anytime
and we're
there's
still waiting
little,
on their punishment.
But that's a good point. I'm assuming... will be addressed when Roger Goodell has his press conference.
Post-Super Bowl.
He'll be asked about it at the State of the NFL press conference next week down in Miami. We'll be at that. But you're right. It'll be post-Super Bowl. They don't want a distraction. But we still, anytime something's shady at all, because of the past history with the Patriots, we do that. That's how it's going to be viewed with anybody associated with the Houston Astros or the Boston Red Sox with Alex Cora over there and everything. So it is fair game. It's interesting to me, though, Altuve's taking the brunt of this more than anybody else in the Astros organization, other than the manager and ownership.
Bregman should be catching some heat, too, based on when his numbers took it. There's plenty of guys who should take a jump. Whit, you know, and don't judge people. Like, we always say we want athletes to say things. Whit is telling the truth there. I'm going to call myself an all-star that game, too, because there's an asterisk. There should be an asterisk.
Oh, I'd be ticked off.
But it's also nonsense because, like, we do all this. Because I don't know if you saw the piece for the Wall Street Journal, and I know quickly before we take a break, but if you saw the piece from the Wall Street Journal, there's a report that the MLB negotiated essentially a plea deal for the Players Association for no punishment. While we're going to say Bonds can't get in the Hall of Fame, we're going to let players get off scot-free? Good. What's not going to let him get off scot-free? No punishment? Fine. We get to talk about you with a giant asterisk.
Yeah, people are wondering why no players have been implicated really in this in terms of punishment. That's
that report
now,
is
now
because,
we know.
Yeah.
Now we know. It's because MLB said, you talk, you give the scoop. We'll make sure you guys aren't going to be punished. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, a chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest and our radio.com sports NFL insider, Ross Tucker, stops by.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
All right, we're back in here on Cody and Gold. It's time for our national cash contest, a chance at $1,000.
1,000 on the 30s here on 610. Text the code word COPY to 72881. That's COPY. You could be a $1,000 cash winner in the National Cash Contest. We're the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance at $8,000 each day, each weekday. Just listen here on 610 Sports Radio on the 30s. Next chance coming up at 12:30. That was COPY, COPY. Text that to 72881.
Get right back to the Chiefs as we continue the countdown to Miami and Super Bowl 54. We go out to the 610 hotline, and on the line is our radio.com sports NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. And catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show out on radio.com/home, or search Home on the radio.com app. Ross, great to have you back on the show. Let me just start with what we see here with the Niners and Chiefs. You look at the paths to get to Super Bowl 54. Which team's been more impressive?
I think you'd have to go with the Niners. You know, they were totally dominant in both games, especially on the defensive side of the ball and running the ball. Now, the Chiefs ended up winning both games by double digits as well, but you get down 24-0 and then 10-0, 17-7. I don't know. I guess the Chiefs' comebacks were more impressive, but if you're talking start to finish, I think I would lean to the 49ers.
Hey, how close, when you're looking at these two teams, I know Andy's play design gets talked about a lot, and certainly Shanahan has made a huge name for himself in that department too. How close are they as far as equals, I guess, on the department of like how well they are at designing their own personal offenses?
It's unbelievable. I mean, honestly, I think it's the two best teams in football. I think the game is going to be awesome. You know, like 38-35, one team wins. And I think it's two of the top, I don't know, three or four play callers and play designers in the NFL. And I think you could argue and have a very compelling case that it's 1 and 2. I mean, Sean Payton's excellent. McVay's excellent. Doug Peterson's very good. But ultimately, I think if you had every coach in the NFL or every defensive coordinator rank offensive play designers and play callers, I wouldn't be surprised if Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan were 1 and 2. Says a lot about how important coaching is that they're the two teams in the Super Bowl.
Ross, you had a segment on your podcast talking about Andy Reid and looking at his past, and everybody knows he's trying to get that first Super Bowl under his belt there, and you were discussing whether Eagles fans are happy for him or not and whether they should be. Do you think, first of all, Eagle fans out there are happy for Andy Reid? And do you think there's also some of them that are rooting for him or should, considering what he was able to do in his time there in Philly?
Most Eagles fans are rooting for Andy Reid. You know, that franchise, and I do the Eagles preseason games, their pregame radio. I'm from there, even though I never played for them. And if you remember, the franchise was in a really, really bad spot before Andy Reid took over in Philadelphia and then led them to their longest run of sustained success in franchise history, by far. I mean, conference championship game after conference championship game. And yes, they only went to one Super Bowl, and they didn't win it. But it's still unbelievably impressive what he was able to do in Philadelphia. I mean, those were the good old years. Plus, if you're an Eagles fan, I guess I can kind of understand if you'd be jealous or whatever, but the Eagles got their Super Bowl a couple years ago. Doug Peterson came from the Chiefs and was recommended by Andy Reid. And, you know, the Eagles kind of broke up with Andy Reid. I mean, I guess it was mutual, but they kind of broke up with Andy Reid. Like, it'd be different if Andy Reid just left the Eagles. Or it'd be different if the Eagles haven't been able to have their own success. But they have. So they should be happy for Andy Reid. You know, his success makes people talk even more about the Eagles' success when he was there. That's a positive. I think if you're the Eagles, you probably like the fact that if the Chiefs win, that the Eagles will be the only NFC team to win the Super Bowl in whatever it would be, 5 years or whatever. I think that's a positive for them. Plus, he's like an awesome guy. I mean, I'm sure you guys have dealt with him, but I can remember one time I was at training camp, brought my father-in-law, introduced my father-in-law to Andy, and Andy goes back in the locker room after the conversation, comes out before practice, and hands my father-in-law a hat, shirt, and shorts, and said, "Hey, Dad, I got nothing wrong with Penn State," because he was wearing a Penn State hat. "I got nothing wrong with Penn State, but if you're going to be here, you might as well wear some Eagles gear." I mean, like, that's awesome. And my father-in-law now loves him forever. I can guarantee at least one Eagles fan is rooting for the Chiefs, that's for sure.
It's funny you describe the way he took over the Eagles. That's the identical thing he did with the Chiefs. They were in a rut. He took over and has put them in their longest sustained stretch of success since, I don't know, the 50 years ago that they were back in the Super Bowl. But when you look at this team now, you mentioned the four straight conference title games. I know a lot of people don't want to say the word dynasty or anything in Kansas City, although some fans probably would go that far. But does this feel like the kind of team that's getting ready to go on a run to you? I know it's a two-year run, but does it feel like they're getting ready to go on a long run, I guess?
They do, yes. Now, I would say if you look historically, those runs typically only last 3 to 5 years. I mean, you think about, now you could say Montana for 10 years or whatever in San Francisco, but if you really look at it, they had the 81 through 84 run and then the 88, 89 run. You know, the Seahawks kind of had their run where they were in Super Bowls, where they were able to play at that level. Even the Cowboys of the 90s. The Patriots have had kind of two different ones, right? 2001 through 2005, and then, you know, more recently, the previous 5 years. So the point I would make is that with the current core of players as currently constituted, they're probably in year two of a 3 to 5 year realistic window with this core group. You know, Mitchell Schwartz and Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones and those guys, because what happens is they just end up not being as good as they were, and they're probably making more money than they deserve at some point, and it makes it hard. That said, I think as long as they have Mahomes, they're going to have a real chance, and Mahomes could be like some of the other situations, Montana or Brady, where he's almost part of two different dynastic runs for the Chiefs. You know, these years, and then maybe they have to kind of take a little bit of a step back for a couple years, then maybe they go on another 3 to 5 year spurt.
Our radio.com sports NFL insider Ross Tucker with us on 610 Sports Radio. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. I guess on the other side with the Niners, do you expect that this foundation that they have there, and of course some young players, Garoppolo, though older than people, you know, than people maybe realize, Kyle Shanahan, though, as we were talking about, one of the bright play callers in the league, how much of a run do you see maybe them being able to get on? When I say run, just being division champs and getting back to NFC championships on a consistent basis.
Pretty good. They're very young, very young. On defense, you know, the whole D-line other than Ford is on first contracts. The linebackers, Greenlaw and Warner, are second and first-year players. They can fly. They do have some good young players in the secondary, although Sherman is getting up there in years. The offensive line, except for Joe Staley, is very young. The running backs are all, you know, relatively young guys. The receivers, Deebo Samuel, I mean, they have a chance to be good for the next few years as well, and I think they will be. I think you look at how John Lynch is drafted, it's very, very impressive. And then you combine that with Kyle Shanahan, and I would imagine that the passing game with Garoppolo getting more starts under his belt, and if they get another weapon at receiver, will only get better as well.
Well, Ross, we're fired up to get down to Miami. Hopefully we'll have a chance to catch up with you down there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. I bet you guys are. A, it's been 50 years. B, the weather will be much, much warmer down there. It's like 28 degrees here in Pennsylvania, and there's snow on the ground. So I'm looking forward to it as well. Should be awesome. I got a lot of ties to the Chiefs. Chad Henne's from my hometown. And I probably told you guys this before, but I thought I was really cool in high school because the Delaware and William & Mary coaches came to my house right after they were in the coal region at Brett Veach's house, and Brett Veach was the state player of the year. So I thought I was pretty cool that they came to my house after his.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right, Russ. Ross, thanks so much.
See you guys.
That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show out on Radio.com/home, or search Home on the Radio.com app. We'll react a little bit to what he had to say, plus still expecting to hear live here on Cody and Gold from Eric Bieniemy, Dave Tobe, along with multiple Chiefs here on 610.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.